Hello?
Blog Talk.
If you're a smoker,
some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I want to be more than just somebody. I want to be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Your last 4 digits are 9916. You're on the line. Send you to your
name. Daphne?
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, but I hear Dr. Higginbotham.
Thank you.
I'm here. Hello. 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 Hello?
Hey, what's going on? I can't hear nothing on the other line. Okay, I'll call back on the other line. Okay, bye.
Okay. There was a bit of technical difficulty, so we are going to...
Hello? Can't hear you. By the way, if you can hear me, I'm listening to your radio show and there's nothing on the air. It's just static. Oh, boy. I can barely hear you. You sound so far away. Hello? I can't hear you. I can hear a distant sound on, and you're not transmitting over the air neither.
Dr. G, are you hearing? Are you hearing, Dr. G?
Stephanie, and I'm listening also over the internet, and it's not broadcasting over the internet neither.
Okay.
Are you hearing now?
Oh, I'm hearing you loud and clear now.
Okay. Right, well, welcome to the show, and
okay.
These challenges happen. This is why we always like to have our guests calling early so we can work the little kinks out. But God is good, and He is always on time. So welcome to the New Day show. You are no stranger. So
no,
we are
well,
all.
Thank you.
We are always very happy to have you, and a good friend of yours, Trish Cook, is here as well. You
Hello,
remember
Trish.
You met Trish
yes.
at the meeting you had here. So we are so excited to have you.
Oh, I'm so honored to be on your show tonight. How are
yes,
you doing?
Yes. Would you please, for those people who are new to the show, who has not heard you before, would you please go ahead and tell them who Dr. G is?
Well, I am a spirit. I possess a soul and I live in a physical body. I'm made in God's image. I'm made in His likeness. I'm love. I'm about change. I'm about help moving our people out of poverty, moving them to knowledge, wealth, and power, and helping them get to the next level. Because we've been off course, Daphne.
Yes.
And I know as a commercial airline pilot, you can be 1 degree off course and you won't make it to your destination. And we've been off for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I am so excited. You know, next month, April the 4th, will be my 43rd year anniversary that I've been on this. I accepted a call in my life the night Dr.
Amen.
King was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I made a decision that night that to begin to help develop and create better communities and also to find
mm-hmm.
out why Dr. King was murdered. And I know why he was murdered, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
He was about to launch the Poor People Campaign movement. He was about
mm-hmm.
to put in a bottom-up model that would begin to bring about change, and
mm-hmm.
those at the top of that society, the leaders, feared him
mm-hmm.
and had him
mm-hmm.
Removed from the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Daphne, look at our condition.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Dr. King was alive today, would things be different? What do you think?
You know, that several people have asked that question, and I think that that's a great question that we keep pondering for years, because Dr. King, among other great leaders, wanted so much for us, the people.
Yes.
Then the question, the part B to that question, Dr. G, then becomes, do we want more, and are we ready for better?
Oh,
because
that is beautiful.
It's like parents and children. Parents always want the best for their children, but until the children are ready to embrace that best, there's nothing the children can do.
Now, I got a question for you, because you go in there with asking the children, don't the children have to become of? You know, the Bible talks away, put away childish things. When I was a child, I did childish things. But mm-hmm. when I became old, I put away those things.
That's
and
right.
And now I began
That's
to
right.
act like more responsible. Don't you think it's time for us to grow up?
It's long past time that we grow up. But what I have found out over the years that I've been doing the kind of work that I'm doing, I honestly, and I'm going to boldly say, I don't think people want to grow up. I think people want to remain in the mediocrity that they're at, and they want to keep blaming, blaming, blaming. They blame their parents. They blame their family.
Yeah. Yeah.
They blame society. It's the government. But until we decide that we want to grow up and claim better for us, I think we're still going to be here.
Well, Daphne, I'm telling you, let me share this with you. I'm ready to grow up. I know if we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep producing the same result. And
That's
the definition
right.
of insanity or stupidity is doing the same thing over and over expecting a different outcome. We have to change.
That's right.
Now, I need
That's
to say
right.
this, that here's what I've discovered since my 52 years being on the planet. I'll be 53 April the 1st. So,
oh, well,
you know,
congratulations.
Well,
you're still
you,
a baby
you,
to me.
Thank you. I receive all that. I'm just an adolescent on the verge of life. Yes, yes, yes. Well, hey, Daphne, what I've learned is that people are stuck in their comfort zone. And they, even no matter how bad it is, they have come so used to what they have,
mm-hmm.
they don't see the need to change. But
That's right.
We,
That's
but we
right.
have to move on because
we have to.
Our
we
communities
have to.
Are in trouble. Our families are in trouble. Let me tell you something. Since the last time I told you, I wrote a book. Oh, by the way, Daphne, oh, I'm so excited. The second edition of my book is out. It's out at
I
Amazon.
I know, and we are going to go into that as soon as you and I can stop running our mouths. Because
I know, I get excited
people,
talking to you.
Our people need a plan
yes.
in which to go. We cannot
yes.
do it without a plan. And the fact is that we really don't know what we don't know until we know it. And this is what I think your book is going to do, the second edition of your book. It's going to help us understand what we really don't know. And it is so set out and designed that it's going to help us to know what we don't know. So we can really begin to grow up.
Oh, and we got to do it quickly. Now, see,
exactly.
Daphne, all the stuff that's in that book, you know, one of my colleagues, she's my publisher. We published it together because we believe in teamwork.
Yes.
It's real world. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been out there on the cutting edge. And I
mm-hmm.
want you to know, when you're on the cutting edge, sometimes you do get cut.
Oh, yes, sliced. You get sliced. It happens so quickly. A cut is something that takes a little time to happen, but a slice, it's quick.
It's quick.
And you don't even, you just feel the burn. Now you say, ow, when did I get this?
It's like a paper cut. How did
That's
I get
right.
that?
That's right. That's
but,
right. That's
but,
right.
You know, I'm so excited, and I'm excited about a new day, your new day show, because it is a
Thank
new day.
You.
Every
you.
Day is a new day. We've
mm-hmm.
been blessed to have 24 hours in the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been reading this. I got a revelation on this one thing called the slight edge, and
mm-hmm.
many of us are running up against the slight edge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this slight
mm-hmm.
edge is so critical, it will determine whether or not you'll be a success or a failure.
Mm-hmm.
All these critical, oh, I'm telling you, life is governed
mm-hmm.
by laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when I fly that jet,
mm-hmm.
I use the law of aerodynamics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Failure to comply with that law, my sister, it'll create issues for me.
That's right.
And
That's
everybody else to get on board.
You know, well, let's back up because I know you and I, we can go on for 6 years straight and we still never get bored about the conversation. So I want us to, certain things I want to go into before the next guest call in. And you and I, we will continue our dialogue until the next guest calls in. Let us begin at the beginning of why our people refuse to grow up. Because I know it's refuse. It's not that we can't grow up. We refuse to. Do you think is standing in the way of this, Dr. G?
Great question. And I'm so glad you asked. Because what I've learned is our people don't know how to learn. In the Bible, and Daphne, you know, the word of God says heaven and earth will pass away before my word. So I base my life on God's word. He said, I'm not a man, I can't lie. So looking at the word, I see principles. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And because thou reject knowledge. See, no one taught us the learning process. And that's why in the book I put in there the law of learning. There's seven steps to learning. And unless you know these seven steps, learning ain't going to take place.
Now, that's right. That's
right.
Let
me share with you, I was reading this book by Alvin Toffler, and I love this guy here. This guy is a futuristic, him and his wife. And it was in the book, The Third Wave. And as I was reading it, I came across, in that book, got so many nuggets. But it was what I read about the definition of the illiterate of the 21st century. It's not going to be the person that know how to read or write. It's going to be the person that do not know how to learn, unlearn, then relearn.
That's right.
I said, whoa.
That's powerful there. That's right. We can't keep doing the same old things now and expect to move ahead. You know, Trisha and I, we were talking today after church driving back. But we have a new communication director at our church, and we were just commending her. Not Trish and I, we were just talking about the amazing job she has done, because she has diversified the communication, and everybody can learn if you choose to learn.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, if she was doing the same old from the church began, she would not be shedding any light on the new trend now that people are embracing.
Yes.
So before we go any further, what's the name of the book? We're talking about the book.
It's the second edition of Introduction to Collaboration and Teamworking and Networking. I did the original book. And see, I want you to know, everything I put in the original book has come to pass.
Amen.
So if people want to go read it, let them get but the second edition... it's different insight that we've gleaned from our experience in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this edition devolves more deeply into the requirements and the components of a concept that we call success networking. We developed a system for this new information society. And, you know, some of the folks can go out to the llife.org website and read about it, or they can go to success-networking.net. And they can read the information, because we put a lot of stuff out there. But it's a concept that we have. We've developed a new system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the old system was the industrial age. It's gone. It's history. And anytime an old system go away, a new one come up. And so we're past conceptual ideas. We have actually been in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited. I've just been invited to come out to Howard University, to the law school, to begin to, matter of fact, to teach this to their law students.
As well as they
want to do a book signing for me. I'm so excited.
Wonderful.
But this book here, it really addresses how the fear of change, even change for the better, can hold people into people hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And Daphne, this fear of change is beyond economic status.
It's beyond.
It has
to be a mindset first.
Yes,
because
it's a human
condition. We are willing to embrace a different mindset, we ain't doing nothing.
That's right. And see, change only comes when one is willing to embrace truth.
Mm-hmm.
Can I share four things? This is in my spirit right now. There's four things. If change is going to take place in 2011 for anyone, I don't care what color you are, because we're all human beings having a human experience. It's going to require these four things that you're going to have to say an absolute yes to. Can I share them with you?
Sure.
Number one, you're going to have to be willing to change and come like a child. You know, and now I got that off of Matthew 18, verse 3, where Jesus told him, unless you be willing to be converted or be willing to change and come as a child. And see, children, I have like, they if you just say the moon is green and full of cheese, a child mm-hmm. will tell everybody, Mom and Dad says the moon is green and it's full of cheese. You have
That's
to come
right.
with a learned spirit.
The second
thing that you're going to have to do, I like the principle that where Jesus told them, they asked, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he
mm-hmm.
said, the one that's servant to all.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to be willing to put others in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to serve people. The third thing is that people are going to have to be willing to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Creator says, unless you are willing to forgive, God is not going to forgive you of your transgression.
That's right. That's right.
Because none
that's
of us are perfect.
Oh, none of us. We are all a work in progress.
We're all a work in progress. And the fourth thing that has to take place, we're going to have to love how Jesus loves. That, and you know what? We're going to have to take the high road. There's three roads you can
That's
take.
Right.
You can take the low road.
It's
That's
easy.
One.
The low road is easy.
Yeah, it's all about me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a short-lived road. Then there's the middle road where I find most Christians, well, if you do me right, I'll do you right. If you do me
mm-hmm.
wrong, I'll do you wrong.
What's in it for me?
What's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
But that third road, the high road, is meaning I don't care how you talk about me or treat me, I'm going to love you anyway.
Anyway, even though I see you as the child of the King and I'll embrace you with all my flaws and everything, are you willing to embrace me?
But children can't do that. Here's what you just said. The problem is we have to, in the Bible, in Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 8, he talks about as long as you are a child, you differ nothing from a slave, though you lord of all. He said, but you're under guardians and tutors until the time appointed. He said, even we were under the law, but when the fullness of time has come, he said, God sent forth his son, made of the woman, made under law, to redeem them that was under law, that we might receive the adoption of the son. He said, we're no more children, you're a son. And if you're a son, you're heir of God through Christ Jesus. See, as long as we keep seeing ourselves as children of God, we can't get our rightful inheritance. We have
That's
to see
right.
ourselves as sons and daughters. Because
Amen.
Sons and daughters are always other-minded. Jesus said, I
yes.
didn't come down to do my will. I came
that's
down to
right.
do the will of him that sent me. We
got
to
right.
be other-minded. And see, Daphne, that's what I love about you. You are always other-minded. You're like, Doc, how can I help you? And I'm like, Daphne, how can I help you? And when we
Thank
create
you.
That culture,
Thank you.
The
yes.
other-minded culture, where
yes.
it ain't about me,
yes.
it's about
yes.
you.
Yes.
See, that's when you know that you have elevated from a child status
mm-hmm.
to a son. Because,
mm-hmm.
see, a child is all about me, gimme,
right.
me, my four, no more.
Mm-hmm.
But that is short-lived, and that's how
mm-hmm.
our society has been. It's time for us to grow up.
You know,
it was last
Thursday, I was speaking with one of my advisors, and he boldly said to me, he said, I'm tired to see you keep investing money in what you're doing, and I'm tired to see you give away service. And I looked at what he said to me, and I said, with due respect, I see it as planting seeds, because I got to keep investing in my intellectual property. I got to be on the cutting edge of the service that I'm giving to people. And again, I'm not saying that there are not people who take advantage of what I do, but I know if I keep touching other people's lives, God is going to bless me.
That's correct.
And I think people are going to look at it and think it's overnight, but it's not overnight, because I've planned so much and I've done so much for his people. I'm sure you know the story of the mule that fell into that ditch. And when the owner thought he was burying the mule, the mule keeps stomping on the dirt that they were putting in. And by
yeah.
the time enough dirt was there, he stepped out.
That's right.
And I know this is what is happening to you and I. We keep putting in and we keep putting in and we keep putting in. And it's going to give us height. And when people see us step out, they're going to think, oh, they got it overnight. But they're not going to think about the many months this happened and the other happened and the other happened. So I am just so thankful for the work that you are doing, Dr. G.
Well,
and,
I'm doing
and
God's
your
work.
Patience, you know?
It's God's work. This is what we're here for. We're here to serve one another. You know, one thing I love about George Frazier, he gave me something that I'm going to take away, and I appreciate him. You know, he said, life is about loving, caring, sharing, adding value to someone or something
mm-hmm.
other than yourself.
That's right.
That has stuck with me. I love that, man.
Right.
He never done anything else for me.
Any other good, just teaching us that lesson.
Yes, that was phenomenal. And the other thing, he said, the essence of life
mm-hmm.
is being pro-responsible for the life that the Creator gave you. And don't blame no one else for your mistakes.
That's right. It's not your fault. It's not the white people's fault.
No.
It's not the people next door. It's your responsibility.
That's correct. Now
we need to begin to see what our responsibility is before we pick up on that F word.
That's right. But
you
I
know.
Want to add something to your people's life. This is what's in my heart. I mean, I speak with somebody. You know what, Daphne? The book is fine, and they can go out to llife.org and get all that, and it's on the front page. And they can go out to amazon.com and put in their introduction to collaboration, teamwork, and they can do that. But I want to add value to other people. And
yes.
Here's what God wants us to do. And see, I've sought his face. I hit rock bottom. I got spiritually bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when you get spiritually bankrupt, then you open up to be able to hear him.
That's right.
I sought his face, and you know what? He wants us to begin to think like him. We're made in his image. And see, God, he says you're either in or you're out. Either hot or you're cold. You're either
that
wise
can't be lukewarm.
Or you are cool.
He spit you out if you're lukewarm.
That's right. He mm-hmm. said you're either going to be rich or you're going to be poor. Go look at Proverbs 22:2. He said, son, I didn't put that middle crap in there. That's not me. I'm two extremes. I said, I hear you. I said, we just have had bad data. And one thing that I want to share with you people,
mm-hmm.
just like when I fly that jet, people get on board, and I stand at the door greeting everybody on board, Daphne, when they get on board,
mm-hmm.
connecting with them.
Wonderful.
I ask them, what's your destination?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you headed in life?
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, I'm going with you today to Los Angeles. I said, well, welcome mm-hmm. aboard. You're on the right flight. Well,
right.
But I said, as you walk, what is your destination? And
that's
most
right.
people can't tell me their destination. Some say heaven. I said, have you made Christ the Lord of your life? They said, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right.
I said, well, all you have to do is figure out how to die then, because to be mm-hmm. absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's up there interceding in heaven. I
that's
said,
right.
But they said, I don't want to die. I said, I know. What is your what is your destination as you walk here in this earth realm? And I said, if
that's
you
right.
don't have one,
that's
let me
right.
share with you what our destination should be. And this
mm-hmm.
is for your listening audience. They need to go look at Psalm 66:12, where he said, I've brought you through fire, I brought you through water. Men have
mm-hmm.
been over your head, but I brought thee out into a wealthy place.
Mm-hmm.
Our destination is the wealthy place. See, if you ain't aiming at the wealthy place, you're automatically headed to the poverty place.
That's right. You got to make a choice.
Life is choice driven.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of life that you live is based on the quality of decisions that you make.
That's right.
But
that's
if you
right.
haven't had the right information, how can you make the right choices? You can't.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
that's the bottom line.
We've been duped, hoodwinked, but we have to begin to line up our thoughts with God's thoughts. We want our ways his way. And so he's not going to make a decision for you. Just like he gave Adam and Eve a choice,
mm-hmm.
we have to make a decision. And if you don't make a decision, you still made one. You made a passive decision.
That's
and
right.
it automatically reverts to the poverty place. So I want
mm-hmm.
your people to begin to do that. Don't
mm-hmm.
back off on God. God owns it all. Go own it all.
Mm-hmm.
People want us to separate from God. No, God is my refuge.
Oh, yeah.
He created
that's right.
us.
He's our refuge and strength. And there's no lack in the kingdom. Isn't
hey,
that assuring?
None.
No lack in the kingdom. That's
none.
One place where there's no lack. I can claim mine. You can claim yours. Everybody can claim theirs. And then there is still so much more, because there are so many people who are not claiming what is rightfully theirs.
And you know what's so exciting about all that? He says you have what you say. If you walk around saying you're going to be broke, your confession equals your possession.
You are professing that.
Your confession equals your possession. He said, I sent my son who's given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He said, whatever that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
That's
and
right.
whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So if we're not binding up ignorance, poverty, dependency, and complacency and all that crap, it's running loose. It's a mind thing.
It's the choices are, you know. I remember you the first time we met, and you're talking about the paradigm shift that we need.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I've never heard any person categorize it like that, because it's not easy. And people who have nothing, they are already comfortable with nothing. You know, because as you look, it is like sometime you look in the public housing development.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, I worked in that environment. And you know, the thing that puzzled me is that I look and I have conversation with the people, and the great, 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 great grandparents lived in the same development. And now so many generations later, they still live in there. And I said, have you ever desired more? But I think they just sit and they just think, oh, well, oh, great-grandma used to live here. It's like a legacy that they think they have to preserve. And
well,
I say, you can break that mold. Let it begin with you. Break the mold.
And that's where I'm at. You know what? The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they keep rejecting knowledge. He said, I'm rejecting them. And because you've forgotten the law of God, he said, I'm forgetting your children. See, we think God is rejecting. We think that the kids are rejecting God. Wrong. We got it backward. God is rejecting the children because they haven't. We haven't done what we're supposed to do. We're the leaders. And so I'm setting a new – the movement is on the way. You know, I'm so excited. Yesterday – a church in St. Louis, a big Baptist church, has endorsed the Life More Abundant movement. I'm so excited. As a matter of fact, they want me to meet the national person, go see them today. Oh, you know what? Today, I'm so excited. Daphne, I got control of a credit union as of today.
Hallelujah. Congratulations.
Hallelujah.
Congratulations. And you know
God
what I'm
moving.
Happy about what you say here? Because you and I know that a lot of the churches feel threatened by a movement like yours. Because over the centuries, they have the people under their thumbs.
Yes.
And people don't want to get out.
Well, because
so I'm glad that somebody eventually saw the light.
And boy, this church, these men are on fire. They were like,
Amen.
God has sent you to us. We've been looking, we've been praying, and God has, and you know what, I am so excited. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put it up on my YouTube site, because I videotape everything. We're keeping record. We are in the midst of a major evolution.
Yeah, we got to document things, yes.
Yes, we have to, because we have to pass this on to the next generation. And it's just, I'm excited, and your listening audience, I hope and pray that they go out and visit the L-Life website. By the way, Daphne, I got to say this to you. Do you know the difference between rich people and poor people?
Our decisions that we make?
Yes, and one more thing. Words. Our thought life.
Our thought process, yeah.
Our words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
our words. That's right.
He said,
that's
death
right.
and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love
mm-hmm.
it to eat the fruit thereof. It's our
that's
words.
Right.
Rich people
that's
got
right.
a rich vocabulary, and poor people got a poor one.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done, I've out at the llife.org website, I put out there the language of the rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there. It's free. It's my gift to the group. Whoever want to go out and get it, they ain't going to have no excuse. They can go
that's
out
right.
there and see where it says financial literacy language, and they can click one and download information. And it's free, and download the number two, and then they can begin to learn the language and begin to speak
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you speak it, it will begin to
manifest
in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one more other thing. Daphne, do you know what 2011 represents, the year 2011?
For me, I have claimed it, and I have manifested at the year of extreme abundance.
Beautiful.
But
do you know what it means from a United Nations perspective?
No.
Now, did you notice here they just passed a resolution for a no-fly zone, United Nations, and it got executed in less than 20, 4 to 48 hours. Did you hear about that over there in
no,
Africa?
I didn't know. I did
with
not
Gaddafi,
know about.
In Libya, they put the new no-fly zone in because of the UN passed a resolution. Now, the UN passed a resolution on December 10th, 2010,
mm-hmm.
Naming 2011, starting January 1st, 2011, as the International Year of People of African Descent worldwide.
Wow.
Globally. And so most people don't know that. So I put it out there at the website. If you go out there, you'll see other insights of the journey of African American on the website and click on it, and it'll pull up things that I put out there, my gift to people, they can download, but you'll see the resolution of the UN out there downloaded, and so you can see it. Also, there's a video that we placed out there where people can actually see them claiming 2011 as a year, and it's about 39 minutes, but it's so informative, and it'll bless people.
Mm-hmm.
All I want to do is be a blessing. He's blessed me with information, and I try and put it back out there to add value to people's lives.
Yes.
And we need to know that this is our year. Next month, we'll be one quarter of the year gone.
Yes.
And most people don't even know that this is your year.
That's right.
So we got to get the word out.
We have to embrace people, and we have to be diligent and another favorite thing that George says is stay the course.
Yes.
Because
I'm gonna do
as long
that.
As you stay the course and run your race, ain't nobody can get you out of the race.
I'm going to run the course. You know what?
I'm staying the course.
Amen.
Blistered soul, tired shoulders, sore back, sore feet, dry and thirsty, parched throat. I am staying the course.
And I'm staying it with you. As a matter of fact, we might as well have some fun running the course together. Hey, this the Life More Abundant Movement. They can go out to www.successcities.com and see what we're doing out there. And it's free to sign up. It's here. It's our time.
Yes.
And Daphne, I am so honored because I really would like for you to be the point person up there for the movement. It's happening. We are going to see an evolution on our watch. Not a revolution, but an evolution.
Evolution.
We're going to evolve from where we are to where we need to be. And guess what? When the people on the bottom come up, everybody come up.
That's right. Guys, it's not like it's trickling down, which is what has been happening. Trickle down, but we are building from the bottom up.
Yes.
And you can look at it as a plant. So long as the roots are solid, you're getting beautiful blossoms.
That's
strong
correct.
Branches.
Yeah.
You know. But if the roots are weak, nothing is happening. The plant is going to wither away.
He said, well, if we base it on the word of God, he said if we continue in his word. I love Psalm 1, where he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the path of the sinners.
Mm-hmm.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, if you ever see a tree come up out of the water, you know that tree is rooted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, it is rooted, and there's no wondering whether that tree is well nourished. But, you know, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Because it's my observation that people who profess to be Christians are more absent from the richness that we are entitled to. Because if there's one entitlement that we have is as children of the Most High.
Back
and
to
I
that
think
children.
even people who are supposed to be reading the Bible, I think a lot of time they twist it and they misinterpret it.
That's true.
How can we bring a change about that for our people?
I'm so glad you asked. You asked a great question. You asked the right person. Because the problem with most Christians, they never go to the Old Testament. They don't know their biblical heritage. Mm-hmm. Most black people don't, I don't even want to call them black, I'll say African Americans don't know their biblical heritage. And I'm going to tell you, not knowing your heritage is almost like a ship without a rudder on it. All it can do is go around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been doing. And we got, the thing is, the Jewish people that are claiming to be Jews,
mm-hmm.
who are not, Daddy said in the book, they're from the synagogue of Satan. If you go to Revelation chapter 3, 2, and Revelation 2, verse 9, and Revelation 3, 9, you know, I'm going to give them what the word says. He said they're not. They've stolen your inheritance. And the only reason, I don't think they stole it. We just did not embrace our inheritance since we've been here in America. And because we haven't done that, everybody else have been grabbing it and using it, claiming it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be willing to embrace who we are.
That's right.
That God, we're not an afterthought of God. We were in his original thought.
Mm-hmm.
The first person that was on the planet was a person of color. If you go to Genesis 2, verse 7, where he talks about he dug into the ground and pulled man out, made him from the dust of the ground. I haven't seen no white dust. And so there's been lies that have been told. But we have many ministers who don't know the word of God, don't know the heritage, and if you don't know it, you can't teach it.
You can't teach what you don't know. That's right.
And so I'm not on the minister bashing. That's not me. I'm not on God's vengeance team. God said he'll take care of that. Because when they get home, they'll have to stand before him and give accountability.
That's right. It's not our place.
I just got to do what I've been called to do. And one of the things is all I want to do is educate people to know the truth. Because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The chains have been off of us for over 170 years, my sister. Where the chains have been on us is in our mind, because we haven't embraced truth. We don't know what we are, who we are. We don't know what we should be becoming, what we should be doing. We haven't asked the tough questions. It's not hard. This is no rocket scientist stuff. And so part of what I'm doing is I'm part of that remnant group, a new age person that's about teaching and training so that people can walk in their rightful inheritance and live life and have it more abundantly.
I like that you use the word new age, because I found out in the Christian community, people think the word new age is a taboo. You know, I sent a survey out a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, people referred to me as Dynamic Daphne, and some referred to me as the Queen of the Empowered Soul. And some of the feedback I got was when people say, oh, no, that is too New Age. And so I asked, what's your definition of New Age? You can't be living in the New Age and operating in the old age. So you got to be willing to change.
They don't know the word of God.
That's
they
right.
They don't even know the New Testament, because the New Testament talks about the different ages will come. It's in the book. They just haven't read it. They haven't studied to show themselves to prove unto God. And so what you have is misinformation being put out there. And what you got, one thing people need to do, they don't know, need to just be quiet and go learn something productive. Because you're going to be held accountable for the words that come out your mouth.
Exactly.
And if you misled people, it's going to be very challenging.
I went to a healing school sometimes last year. As a matter of fact, I think I've been going for 3 full years, because I've done 3 levels. And once they had a graduation, and one of the lady asked me where I worship, and I told her. She asked who my pastor was, and I told her, and she asked me if he approved for me to be there. And I was thinking, I didn't hear her right. So I said, would you say it again? And she repeated that. I said, the knowledge that I'm acquiring is for me to better my learning. I said, I don't need my pastor's permission for me to acquire knowledge. I said, you can call me a rebel if you can, but I'm not one of those people who see that there's information out there that I need that is going to empower me, and I'm going to be standing on a long line to ask my pastor if it's okay for me to go. Because I say, you know, when the day of reckoning come, I can't say to God, my pastor, say I shouldn't go learn this or I shouldn't go learn that. And she pondered for a while. And this is what people need to understand, that it is our responsibility to go out and learn what we need to learn, because you cannot blame anybody else.
That's correct.
You just cannot. I want you to, you have your book with you?
Yes.
I want you to highlight certain sections there.
Okay.
In the book on the different points there that you want people to really hone into.
The one that I really want them to look into is the law of learning.
Mm-hmm.
That is so critical. I think probably without having that piece under your belt,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be difficult for people to move forward, because in this new information age, knowledge is now the primary source of capital. It's more important than money. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't know how to process and information quickly, rapidly, you're going to get left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't understand that our forefathers worked together as a team,
mm-hmm.
they were forced to work together. They were forced. And if we can unlearn some of the stuff that we've learned, creating wealth and any of that, all that's easy. But it doesn't do any good if you don't have the right spirit behind
yes,
it.
Yes, right. Right.
The right spirit.
Yeah. Everything operates through a system.
That's
and we need a system that works for us, which is what the Life Organization is doing. It's giving us not just a plan, it is providing us with a system. All we need to do is to apply it.
That's
and
correct.
The beauty with the Life Organization, it collaborates with us. And
that's
as
right.
you said, it's teamwork. You're not just talking about it. This book is a prime example of that. It's not that you could not do the book by yourself, but you wanted to demonstrate
that's
what
right.
teamwork is
you
like.
Got it.
By including a co-author on this book. And this is what...
You caught it. You got
our,
it.
Yeah, our people think that, this is my stuff, and I got to be a Lone Ranger. No, 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 no. The days of Lone Rangership are
over.
All over. We are in the era of collaboration and teamwork, because too much research and work is already done for us to keep going out there to reinvent the wheel.
It really
Why
has.
We collaborate with others to get the work done efficiently.
Can I drop this little nugget on you?
Mm-hmm.
It has always been teamwork. Big
yeah.
business is a team sport. You know,
mm-hmm.
I fly for American Airlines as a pilot. You know that.
Yeah.
They don't. If I don't come to work, guess what? Because it's a system,
mm-hmm.
they'll put somebody else there.
That's right. They call somebody else.
It's,
the flight might be delayed, but they're getting another pilot there.
And no, it might not be delayed because they'll call a reserve out. But what they have is a system. Now, the life build system, and it's, you know, the word, everything I do have, for the most part, have an acronym. The word life stands for live in faith every day.
Mm-hmm.
The word build means beings or believers that believe this. Believers united in learning and doing. And the word system means save yourself time, energy, and money.
Mm-hmm.
The life build system. But, you know, I tell people, read the book first, because they need to understand how to prepare for success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chapter one, you know, it talks about the cornerstones of success projects. You got to
mm-hmm.
prepare for success.
That's
you got to
right.
understand the barriers to learning. You're going to have to learn how to renew your mind, how to unlearn and then relearn. You're going to have to understand how to mastery. I mean, section one is phenomenal. And
mm-hmm.
so that there is no mistake, section two is about success in networking. We define
mm-hmm.
it. It's not about individual success. It's about group dynamic, us working
That's
together.
That's right. That's right.
Because when you learn how to work effectively as a group or as a team, you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But only most people don't know about the law. You know, one thing that's in one of Stephen Covey's book, he talked about interdependency.
Mm-hmm.
Most people want to be independent, just like what you just said, but there's no power in being independent.
That's
the power is in teamwork. Even God says, want to put 1,000 to flight, but two,
put
10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Three, it's unlimited, quantum. So we have to learn, got to change our behavior. And in section 3 of the book, I put the basis for change, the price of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
There is a price that you will pay.
That's right.
You know, many nations are enslaved because of their ignorant leaders. Those that are, and ignorant only mean lacking in knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about the society is out of balance. America, we out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about the need to be involved. Because if you choose not to get involved, if you're not part of the solution, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You are the problem. So
that's
there are
right.
things in the book.
That's
you
right.
I put in there about the health impact right now
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
affecting us.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna. If you don't have money, you might leave the planet early because you don't have to have money to play to be healthy these days.
Dr. G.
Ma'am.
Would you hold on? We have a caller. I want to see if the caller have a question. Caller, you're on live. Your first three digits are 585. Would you state your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please?
Actually, Daphne, this is Lakeisha Smith, and I'm calling from Rochester, New York.
Okay. Well, hello. Thank you. Just hang on there in the virtual green room. I'm still winding up here with Dr. G.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Okay, Dr. G, that's my other.
That's good. But in the new book, in the book, section 4, I talked about the new society, the information age, really what it is and what it's not. And we've helped now to define, you know, we're literally creating a new and inclusive society from the bottom up. And I talked about how to set up and run, you know, a success networking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked at it from the historical perspective. And how it's important to have the right people. And
yes.
I talked about the processes, and I gave
yes.
some final thoughts. And I
yes.
talked about where we are, the failures that we've had, and the successes, mm-hmm. and moving forward. The
mm-hmm.
book is designed to really empower people to
yes.
live through our experiences, but in addition, begin to catapult them so that
mm-hmm.
they can be a greater success,
mm-hmm.
or how can I put the word I want to put? Look at... You see, failure is the birthplace to success.
Mm-hmm.
Learn
mm-hmm.
from us real quickly and move forward. We've
mm-hmm.
been out there on the cutting edge.
Yes.
I encourage the people to get the book because in it, you're going to have a paradigm shift. You'll see things
mm-hmm.
new for really what they are.
Yes. I want you to summarize our conversation, but before you do that, Dr. G, I want you to take some time and give your contact information out. And tell the listeners where they can pick the book up. And it's not only in traditional print, and it's not only hardcover, softcover, but Kindle and everything. Let's let them know how they can get access to that. And then I would like for you to come back and let us just summarize your conversation.
Okay, gladly. The book can be located in two places. We do have it in the Kindle format, and also, too, it should be in paperback. You can go out to Amazon.com and put in there Introduction to Collaboration Teamwork, or you can put my name, Gerald Higginbotham, in there, and it will come up. Or the easiest way is go over to the Life website, LLIFE.org, LLIFE.org, www.LLIFE.org, and go out there, and you can read all the information we put out there, everything that we talked about, and the book is out there, and you can click on it, and it'll run you over to Amazon, and those that have the Kindle, they can be able to download it immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of information to inform you, and you just take your time chewing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those that really want to get a hold of me, they can send me an email to Dr. Gerald at llife.org, D-R-G-E-R-A-L-D at llife.org, or they can call me, 314-972-0542. That's 314-972-0542. To sum it all up, I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, go ahead.
To sum it all up, we talked about change. I shared with them the four things that were required if they want to see change in 2011 that they're going to have to say an absolute yes to. The second thing we talked about was the future. Yes, you got to be ready for change, but what are we going to change to? And that's what we put in the book, the second edition of Introduction to Collaboration and Teamwork. We also talked about the foundation, you know, making sure that what you do is found on the rock, because
mm-hmm.
God says heaven and earth will pass away. We saw what happened over in Japan here recently with the tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
If it's found on the sand, a shaky ground, it will go away. But
mm-hmm.
if it's on the rock, it will be tested.
Yes.
But you'll wind up being the winner. The other thing I talked about is telling them to join the movement. Go out to www.successcities.com and look
mm-hmm.
what's out there, what we're doing and where we're going, and participate.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about if you're not part of the solution,
you are part of the problem. That's right.
No. They are the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep it real with them. And the other thing we talked about let's go together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, teamwork make the dream work. It's all about us working together
mm-hmm.
in unity.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does, people got to plug into the vision.
Yes.
Because where there's no vision, the people perish.
People will perish. That's right.
But he said, where there's a vision, happy is he that keepeth the law. And he's talking about the laws of vision, the laws of success.
Yes.
We want our people to succeed. And last but not least, I did talk about UN.
Mm-hmm.
About this is the International Year of People of African Descent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of the UN issuing that resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I just only have one question. Now, they issued that resolution in December. But they don't, you know, most people haven't heard about it. But if we want to talk about war or anything like that, UN
mm-hmm.
issued a resolution, everybody know about it. Next day we implement it, we got machines over there, everybody's
mm-hmm.
having war and stuff, engaging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want us to, we don't have equal status as a group. And it's not fair
mm-hmm.
for people or institutions not, they want to spend our money on war, but they don't want to give credibility to the resolution
mm-hmm.
for the International Year of People of African
mm-hmm.
Descent.
We
need to give heed to this, and we need to talk about it.
That's
because
right. That's
a
right.
resolution has been passed, and you can go get it out there at our website.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. G, it's always so refreshing.
Oh, thanks, Stephanie.
Being in your presence and
bless you.
You know that I believe in what you're doing. I pray for it. We may not speak as often as we are supposed to, but I still love you, my brother. And before you go, I want to introduce you to another mover and shaker, which is Miss Lakeisha Smith. And Lakeisha is in the Rochester, New York area.
Fantastic.
And that's somebody that I want to introduce you to, who's doing a phenomenal work up in that area.
Wow.
And I'm sure the organization and the movement will add value to what she is doing. I hope you are not flying out and that you'll be able to listen to her segment of the show. So I want to introduce you both, Lakeisha. Meet Dr. G. Dr. G. Meet Miss Lakeisha Smith.
Hello, Miss Lakeisha Smith. Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm too blessed to be depressed. Good day to be alive.
Okay. Well, Dr. G, without any further delay, I want to just play one song and then get this dynamic lady on the air. I want to encourage you, my brother, to keep doing God's work.
Hallelujah.
And you know I'm available to you. All you have to keep doing is keep pressing in. You get me, you know, sooner or later. And you just have to keep doing. You throw enough of us up, somebody's going to stick.
Can I pray for your group before we go?
Yes.
Listen, Heavenly Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your word that is forever settled in heaven. And we pray for her listening audience.
Yes.
We pray that their every need is met in their life, every bill is paid off, and they're walking in the abundance that you have set in place since the foundation of time. We bind up anything that would try and hinder them from being successful, anything that would come against their thought lives.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we release the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding,
yes,
the spirit of wealth, the spirit of power, the spirit of unity,
yes,
on those,
Lord,
under the sounds of her voice. And we bind,
yes,
up the spirit of ignorance, poverty, dependency, complacency, and dysfunction.
Yes,
we thank,
Lord,
you, dear Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we are the people who are willing to walk righteously before you. We thank you that for blessing Daphne right now. Bless her. Bless her. Have people come from the north, east, south, and west that will support this vision that she has.
Yes, Lord.
Because it is doing work here in the community. We thank you that this information is going across the globe.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, you said your words won't come back void. It will accomplish the thing in which it's been set. And we just say thank you. We
thank
say thank you,
you
right now.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus
and
Christ's name. And those in agreement,
amen.
Just say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. G. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my brother.
Bye-bye.
And just give my love to your beautiful wife.
I'll do that.
Okay. Miss Lakeisha, we'll bring you on in a minute. We just want to play a little music, and then you're going to be on the air, my sister. Given up on our people, and he has committed the life movement to bring us all happy days. So remember, go out to life.org and join the movement. Miss Lakeisha.
Hello.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful, 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 wonderful. Thank you for agreeing to come on the show. And I just want you to take a few minutes and introduce yourself to my wonderful global listeners. Tell them who you are.
My name is Lakeisha Smith. I reside and was born and raised in Rochester, New York. I'm 29 years old, and I'm currently trying to push or talk about child molestation and bring awareness to child abuse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's wonderful, wonderful. That is an extremely challenging conversation. There are a lot of people who is really not ready for that dialogue. And you'll hear things like, what happens behind closed doors stay? What happened in the family stay? Why you want to bring disgrace on the family? And it goes on and on and on and on. So, let me just go public by congratulating you, Lakeisha, for shedding light on this and for being bold enough to stand up for a population that thinks that they don't have a voice and that nobody wants to hear from them. It speaks volume about you, my sister, and it shows the strength that you have. So I commend you for that.
Thank you very much. And it does take a lot to come forward and talk about it, because I think a lot of people, especially young children, feel discouraged, feel ashamed, and feel as if no one would believe them. But if they see that someone has come forth and has made it a public statement about their own life, and I think they would be more willing and able to come forth and talk about their situation. So I'm just trying to do my part and hopefully make a difference in the lives of other people.
You are no longer trying. From the mere fact that you're on this radio show today, we are all over the world. This is not a trying process. A trying process would have been if I offered you the opportunity and you keep telling me, I'm thinking about it, I'll get back to you. But no, this is long gone past trial, my sister. You are doing your part. You are in the legacy mode, because what you are telling children across the world in this conversation, it's okay to say something.
Yes.
And what I'm saying to them, if you think there's nobody closely you can call to say something, you can call this radio show and you can say something. Because there are people who are embracing you and is willing to help you tell your story. So,
and that's all people need to know.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said that's all kids need to know, and not only children but teens and even some adults need to know that, you know, this is what needed. You have to come forth and speak your mind and let it be known, because if you don't, you will burn up inside. It will eat away at your soul.
Yeah, and it's not your fault, because one of the things that they are made to believe, it's your fault. You are the one that attracted it to you. No, you did not. No, you did not. So let's start at the beginning of your life and some of the experiences that you went through.
Okay. Well, when I was young, and I don't remember the age, as that's the case with a lot of kids that have been molested, I was home a lot with my father, and my mom would work as she was the breadwinner of our household, and my father was the one who molested me. And I never told anyone about this situation until I got older. Remember when he would force himself upon me, and being a child, I would try to, you know, get up from underneath him, and he was just too strong for me to move, and I could only just sit there, lay there. So I remember one act vividly, as I described in my documentary, where he said some real kind of foul language to me, and he was basically saying to go wipe yourself, as he had, you know, ejaculated. And that played over and over in my mind again and again as I was growing up and being in my room and being depressed, but I never told anyone. I was about 18 years old when the story was actually brought out by myself, because I told a boyfriend that I confided in, and I thought perhaps he would have sympathy and understand and talk with me about it. But I guess in the end, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because he ended up telling my mom, and he ended up telling her when we got into an argument. And my mom asked me about it, and, you know, said, was it true? And I said, of course it's true. And she said that, you know, she was very hurt by it. But I didn't want to talk to her about it at that time, because I was still in pain. So I still closed her off and I didn't want anybody to help me at that time. Because you have to come to a certain point also where you want the help. And I was going through a lot. I was going through an abusive relationship. I was, at a couple points, I did go seek professional help from a psychiatrist. At one of those times, I stopped because I didn't feel like the psychiatrist was helping me. I just felt like she was all about money. And then I ended up going back and getting the help that I really needed, but it was actually my brother who kind of made a turning point in my life during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me one day, I was in my room, and he gave me a copy of the Lord's Prayer. I never knew the Lord's Prayer at that time. And this
How old were you then?
Probably early 20s. And he brought me that copy, and I still have the paper to this day. And I read it, and at the bottom it said, pray, pray, pray. And I did that. And I started to renew my faith with God, because going through an ordeal like that, you really don't feel like you have any. You don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to go to church with him because he was a regular churchgoer.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I've been trying to continue to go, continue to pray. I have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that faith has gotten me through this tough situation. Faith, mm-hmm. along with professional help,
mm-hmm.
and talk about it, has gotten me through, and it continues to get me through this situation. So,
Do you think your brother suspected what was happening with you? Did anybody else in the family suspected it?
I don't think so. Not at all. Because I really think people felt as if that was just my norm, the mm-hmm. way I was acting. Because if that's all you see, then that's how they figure, like, oh, you know, that's the normal. That's normal, her. She's in the room to herself watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Withdrawn. Mm.
Exactly. So they never suspected that that was the case until I brought it to their attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, not at all.
What was your father's reaction when this came to light?
Well, my father doesn't reside in Rochester. He's somewhere in Florida. And, of course,
What did you say, Lakeisha?
He doesn't reside in Rochester currently. He's somewhere in Florida, I believe. And when my mom spoke with him over the phone, of course he denied the situation. And said it wasn't true and he would never do something like that to his own daughter. So, I mean, and I could see him denying it because who wants to...
Yeah, because his ego and so shame. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. About, you know, molesting their child, molesting anyone, period, mm-hmm. but even their own child.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't surprise me. And
that's right.
What I say hurt me, I wouldn't say it hurt me because I've probably been so already accustomed to hurt that it didn't even faze me.
It numbed you. It numbed you, so you wasn't feeling anything.
Right. Mm. Right.
Mm.
So I didn't have a way I felt about it. Just like, you know, I said he's lying and that's that. And it hurt a little bit because, you know, I want people to believe me and I don't want people to think that I'm making up a story like that because I don't think a child would make up a story
like
that.
That's right.
You know,
that
it's something that is dear to somebody that you're taking away. And these are the most trusting people that this happens. That people do this too. The majority of child molestation situations happens from people who the child knows and who's really
knows
close.
And trust and supposedly love. Did
exactly.
you at that time during that period? Did you have other siblings in the home as well?
Just my brother.
You think he was being molested too or no?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. My brother is 7 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. still young, and you know, my uncle and grandmother, they were all around. We go over there, but at that time,
Yes. Well, you know, as you rightfully say, the accuser always tend to want to blame their victim, but you know, all you got to do is to hold your head high. And there is no shame that this will attract to you. You are shedding light on it, and it is in your healing and your speaking about it that you will bring about your healing. And when the day of reckoning comes, he'll have to answer to that. He doesn't have to tell you and your mother that, yes, he did it. it's already eating out his inside. Because every night he lays down, he saw what he did to you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think children, when you're in that stage of, not even only children, I just say anyone, when you're in that stage of feeling as if, you know, you're ashamed,
mm-hmm.
I think people will feel like that. But you have mm-hmm. to know that it is not your fault.
That's
because
right.
no one deserves that. Mm-hmm. That is not something that is supposed to happen to any child or anyone.
But
so
no,
just,
no child, no adult, nobody.
At any time in life. That's a big no. So I just want to hopefully one day start an organization, and the organization will be called ASA, which means Achieving Success After Abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to help children who are going, children and teens who are going through that ordeal, that, you know, to understand that they can overcome it and be successful. Be successful not money-wise, but internally, soulfully, and knowing that, you know, you are somebody, you are cared for, and that you can live your life according to how you would like to live.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why do you not want the success to include money?
It's not that I don't want it to include money. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I don't want people to say, to focus that success has to mean money, because
no.
money does not mean success. Being happy.
No, it doesn't, but we got to be so careful of the language we use, because
right.
now you are laying the foundation, and if you're going to stipulate that money in whatever form you had put it, it need to be inclusive, because this work that you are looking to do, it's an expensive undertaking, and you will need the cash flow in which to do this work. So you want money to be part of this. You want it to be successful, and you want it to be extremely wealthy. You have to go back and listen to Dr. G's portion, because we ain't settling for mediocrity no more. And the work that we are doing, we got to have the money to do it.
Yes, we do. But I didn't want that to be the main focus of why you want to get rid of this pain. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, just be careful of the dialogue, because you know what we give the universe to work with, that's what the universe is going to work with. And
mm-hmm.
The universe doesn't know when we're joking and when we that's not how we mean it, we mean it the other. So we just got to give it what we want it to work with. Let's talk about the documentary that you
mm-hmm.
had done.
Sure. I had plans before I did the documentary, way back when, because I wanted to do something to get the story out and to help other people. It was primarily to help other people. Back in 2007, we have a local television channel, community access channel. And I took a TV production class there thinking that it would help me learn how to do a documentary. And unfortunately, it didn't. I did learn a lot from it, but I didn't learn how to kind of put together a documentary. And then in 2009, a class came about at the community television station, and I contemplated about taking a class, documentary class. And a coworker of mine, her name is Jaquetta Calhoun, and she encouraged me, along with my brother, to take it, because they were saying that, you know, you've been wanting to do this for so long, and this opportunity has come about that things just don't happen. Things happen for a reason. So I took the class, and I think it was about April of 2009. And I was in school at the time, a part-time student at Empire State College, and I had my mentor. I wrote a paper about my experience, and she said, well, you know what? I think you should present this at the college conference.
Mm.
And so I did at the college conference. I presented in October, and it was videotaped. And my story is basically, the documentary is me talking to the college at the conference about my experience and what happened to me.
Beautiful.
So that's my documentary.
Beautiful. You know, they say when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Okay.
What a beautiful environment for you to do the documentary in.
Yes.
I'm sure the interaction with your audience was energetic, and mm-hmm. you got all the right feedback, and people was able to really interact with your presentation. So again, I congratulate you on that. What are some of the feedback that you have gotten from the documentary?
People are were actually happy for me, saying that they're proud of the work that I've been doing or I've done with it to try to make a difference. And I'm still trying to push it more and more. It was just released December of 2010, so I'm still trying to get it out there for people to view within the community and different community access channels. I just uploaded part one, actually, to YouTube, and I'll be mm-hmm. uploading the second part so that mm-hmm. people can see it in its entirety. But people have been congratulating me and, you know, saying that that's a good thing that I'm doing. So I've been getting good feedback from it.
How long is your documentary?
About 30 minutes.
Okay, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because what I can do, I also have a local cable TV show
okay.
that deals with the empowerment. And if you can get me a DVD format, I'll
sure
be
can.
Able to air it on my channel as part of my show to get the word out in this community.
I sure can, and I definitely will send that to you. I do have copies available.
Right. So we'll talk about that. I'm on three different networks here. I'm also out in St. Louis, Missouri, where Dr. G is as well, and I can get it out there. So it will be my commitment and responsibility to you to help you to get the word out. So you just need to get it to me in the right format, which is a digital format.
Okay, I have no problem.
On a DVD. Now that the documentary is out there and is like you have begun to untighten the faucet, how is Lakeisha feeling?
I feel great. I've told a few people in my circle that I feel the best that I've felt in years. Very happy, very energetic. Alive, living. It's a big release off of my soul, off of my chest, and I feel that if people just speak about it, because that's one big part of it, that mm-hmm. they will feel much better. So it mm-hmm. definitely has helped me and helped me to continue on to do other things in life that I may have been suppressed in doing mm-hmm. in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a good friend of mine and a colleague of mine who is living up in Rochester. I want you to write this name down and look her up in the directory and
okay.
have a conversation with her.
Sure.
Her name is Jennifer Sertl, Jennifer Sertl. And she
okay.
has a company, Jennifer
okay. mm-hmm.
Sertl, Sertl. And she has an organization called Agility 3R.
Okay.
Call her up and let her know that I have asked you to call her.
Okay.
Have a conversation with her about what you're doing and see how she can help to shed some light to what you're
okay.
doing there in the Rochester area.
I really appreciate that. I'm very thankful and very willing to contact people to help with getting the word out. I am also right now, there's an organization here in Rochester called Bavonia Advocacy Center. And it
what is it called?
Bavonia Advocacy Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also an agency that deals with child abuse. And I am actually a part of their young professionals group.
Mm-hmm.
We will have our first meeting on April the 5th, I believe, and
mm-hmm.
we're basically trying to bring awareness to the organization so that people are more aware of it, people more aware of what's going on, as well as fundraising events. So I'm excited
mm-hmm.
to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Lakeisha, what would your message be to people who are listening to you that have been molested, whether they are adults or they have now grown into, I mean, whether they are children or they have now grown into adults, what kind of a dialogue you would have with them about beginning to tell?
My message would be trust yourself, trust in God, and believe that there is, it's not only happening to you, and once you get to talking about it, you will feel so much better. Don't keep it suppressed. Don't feel ashamed, because as many people do, let someone of authority know what's going on. And if they don't, if you feel as if they don't believe you, go to somebody else, because there is someone and there are organizations out there that will assist you and get the help you need. But always, always pray about your situation and go out there and speak to someone in authority to help you.
Mm-hmm. Did you find out that after your brother gave you the Lord's Prayer and you began to really meditate and pray on that, and then you came to the realization that I need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as part of my life? Did you begin to get a surge of energy and empowerment that you did not have before?
Oh, yes, truly. Because before it, I just felt empty, felt probably cold. Now I feel like I have so much energy, so many thoughts, so much positive thoughts. Before it was a lot of negativity, and now I want to do so much. I want to be here. I want to be there. I want to get involved more in a lot of different things and positive things. And I do think, I know for a fact that getting that Lord's Prayer and getting a personal relationship with God has helped me on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't change it for the world.
Mm-hmm. How has this experience impact your intimate relationships? Are you now married?
No, I'm not. I'm single.
How has this impact or hinder, if you may, your intimate relationships?
I think in the past, it really did play a big role, because there's a trust factor that is there that you don't necessarily always have. It's hard to trust people if you feel like, you know, they're against you. But once you get through that pain and you're going through it and trying to figure out what's going on, you, a little bit of that trust starts to come back to yourself, where you're able to trust others. So in the past, yes, it has affected where, you know, I may not trust someone and feel like, you know, they're against me. But now I look at things differently and I try to believe in people and trust them. And, you know, sometimes I still do look at things through a microscopic lens. However, mm-hmm. I understand that you cannot not trust people. You
mm-hmm.
have to have some type of trust there in order for things to work. So
mm-hmm.
I'm developing those, you know, qualities as I move on in life.
Mm-hmm. What would your message be to parents? Because you remember when you were being accused of, oh, that's Lakeisha, she stay in her room by herself. What are some of the signs that parents need to watch out for that they can begin to question of if there's something inappropriately happening with their children? And you notice,
well,
I'm not just saying daughters, I'm saying children, because boys go through the same mess.
Exactly. For parents, for one, listen to your kids. That's key. If they're trying to tell you something and you don't, you know, you kind of brush them off, always listen. Always notice the changes in kids, because kids will show you what's different from maybe last week to this week. If they're withdrawn from friends, if they're withdrawn from family members, if they're not, you know, playing, if they're sleeping a lot, pay attention to all that, because it's not maybe a health issue or just boredom. It could be something more serious. So make sure you are aware of just your child, their surroundings, and talk to them. That's basically one of the most important things, is talk to them, find out what they did today, who they were around, if anybody did anything inappropriate to them, and just, you know, just listen. That's one key thing I think parents need to do, is listen to children, because I don't think a lot of kids have that opportunity where they have anyone of adults who will sit down and just have a one-on-one with them and listen to what they have to say.
Wonderful, wonderful. Because, you know, a lot of times, especially mothers, we are so busy going. And we come home, our kids are already gone to bed, and we really don't see what's happening. And especially, it just came to my spirit, and I don't know why, but I'm going to say it. There are women who are in relationships, and they are leaving their daughters with men that are not their fathers.
Right.
Mothers, be careful.
Yes.
Mothers, be careful. Mothers, be careful. I think that is for somebody, and I don't know who. So I would be in disobedience if I did not pass that on. But we got to be careful, because a lot of people, they are so caught up into those relationships and put their children in danger.
Exactly. So. And sometimes parents put, you know, their significant other in front of their children, which is always a big no. And you can't do that. You have to have your child's safety and well-being and caring first before anyone else. So that's another key. Don't, you know, take your significant other's opinion, advice over your child, because it's
that's
not right.
Right.
You have to listen to them, your kids first and foremost, and find out what's going on.
That is powerful. That is powerful there, because we, you know, I'm a single parent, and I understand that. And a lot of people, my son is now 29. He was 29 on Friday. And a lot of people ask me, why aren't you remarried? Why aren't you this and why aren't you that? And I said, you know something? When I divorced, I got divorced when my son was, six and a half or something like that. And I said, it was my responsibility to raise my child. I did not want to be killing anybody in the process for them to mistreat my child. So therefore, I devoted my time to raising my child.
Exactly.
And this is the sacrifices that we as mothers, especially mothers, because fathers can go out and get the groove on and come home, you know.
Right.
Okay. But we got to take the groove home. So because we are home, we're going to look about the dinner and everything. So, you know.
Right.
So, but we got to be careful. What is important to us?
Exactly.
When you become a parent. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said, and your children as a parent shall come first, and,
yes,
you know, the care and their well-being.
Yes.
So I agree.
Yes, yes, yes. So what can we look forward to from you within the next 5 years? How would you like to see your life?
That's a great question. In the next 5 years, I have a lot of aspirations. I'm working on my own business called Unique Visions, and I'm hoping that will bring empowerment to people as well as education. I'm hoping that I will have my organization started, ASAP, Achieving Success After Abuse. I'm currently trying to work on a T-shirt line called LOT, which stands for Leader of Today, Ruler of Tomorrow. And that basically means that if you rule your destination today, you won't have any problems tomorrow being who you are and what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still trying to or continuing to work with the Bavonia Advocacy Center to bring awareness to child molestation. And as like I said, key to my own organization. I'm currently in school part-time, pursuing my bachelor's right now in business administration.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do decide to go further, I think, I will take my master's in education. So I have a lot of goals ahead of me that I'm trying to conquer, and I think that I will, because I have that drive and motivation and dedication to do so. So that's
And I hear where you need a coach, because we're going to have to work on that language of yours. You have such powerful goals, and we just need the language to line up. So you are speaking to one of the world's greatest coaches now, so we're going to have that conversation some other time. some other time. So I just want you to know that I'm available. Just
okay.
had to get that in. So
sure.
let's talk about the relationship between your mother and yourself. After the documentary and after this mess became public knowledge, has it affected the relationship between your mother? I want to welcome guest 10546 to the chat. I'm in conversation with Miss Lakeisha Smith from the Rochester, New York area. If you have a question for Miss Smith, you can call in 646-915-8166, or you can simply write your question in the chat room and I will read it for her. Thank you for joining us. Yes, go ahead, Lakeisha.
Well, my relationship with my mom has definitely gotten better. There is, you know, no problem there. We're more close than we were before. So once the documentary, well, before the documentary came out, kind of was a little, I wouldn't say a lot shaky, but we weren't that close. But once that news came out and the documentary came out, our relationship is much stronger. So me and my mom have no problems.
What about your brother?
Me and my brother's always been close. Me and him are like two peas in a pod. We're very close.
So that your brother is always tight.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. And, you know, I kind of figured that when you mentioned that he gave you the Lord's Prayer, because he saw that you were hurting. And,
possibly,
you
I
know,
never
I, what a gentle way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was such a loving, gentle thing to do. Because a lot of times we are not ready to really speak about what's happening to us. But by somebody loving us enough to say, hey, here is a prayer. I want you to use it. That is speaking volume about how the person loves us. So remember, guests, if you have any question, I want you to call in 646-915-8166. We love to hear you on the phone. And ask a question. I mean, that question might be for you or for someone else. But ask this question of Lakeisha and let us shed some light onto what is happening in the area of child molestation. Has any children came to you after watching the documentary and have said anything, how they have received it or anything like that?
No, I have not had any contact with anybody personally as far as kids are concerned in reference to the documentary. I do have a cousin that lives in Atlanta who's a social worker, and she did use the documentary in some of her sessions and told me that it has helped a few kids talk
Good.
More about the situation. So
Good.
That, you know, encouraged
okay.
me.
Yeah, hold on. We have a caller, so hold on. I
okay.
think it's somebody from your neck of the woods, too. Caller, good evening. You're on the air. Your number, your last four digits are 9172. Would you state your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please?
Jaquetta from Rochester, New York. And my question is, I don't know if she had an opportunity to talk about the relationship with her dad, but wanted to know if Lakeisha had a chance to talk about if there was anything about this about pursuing him criminally or anything
okay.
like that. Did you get an opportunity to talk about that?
No, we have not spoken about that. Lakeisha, the question is, what's the relationship with your dad? Have there been any thought about pursuing criminal negligence or something against your father?
I do not have a relationship currently with my dad, and that question was actually posed to me during the documentary taping, and
I never sat down and really thought of going after him criminally.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, probably because I didn't want to continue to bring those wounds to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've been able to go through the process and get healing and continue my healing, I still don't know.
Lakeisha, is it, would it be accurate if I say, I think you are more on a mission and a legacy of healing people who are victim of molestation versus revenge of the victim, of the accuser? Would that,
that
be accurate to say?
That would definitely be accurate, and that's probably the best way I've heard it described yet. I don't feel as if, so sometimes that just makes it worse for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get past that point and just move on in your life, I think that's better. Now,
that's
if there
right.
are cases where it's then and there, it's right then and there, then
mm-hmm.
yes, why not bring criminal
mm-hmm.
Charges against that person? But
mm-hmm.
if it's in the past and someone is still hurting from it, I think healing mm-hmm. is the best way to deal with that.
The healing, because I tell you something. Each night as he lays in his bed and look up in that ceiling, if he lays on his back, with his conscience eating him, it's going to be worse than somebody taking him into jail. Because
yes.
taking him into jail, he, there is the system spending money on him and he getting attention again. But when his conscience is devouring him in there, hey, there ain't nothing he can do about that one. He has
right.
to go to his knees and repent. And what I see you doing is empowering and enriching other people's lives to create their own healing and to tell their stories. And again, I congratulate you on that and putting your energies where it is much more warranted and needed.
Thank you. And I want to continue on with that.
Yes. Carla, do you have another question or remark? I hope that helped you.
It did. Thank you.
Okay. And we thank you for calling in. And if this is your first time, would you stop by the show site, mark it favorite, become a friend, and certainly come back to visit us?
I will do that.
Thank you so very much.
Thank
okay,
you.
Ms. Smith, that means there's somebody in your neck of the woods who is listening to you right now. And aren't we excited about that?
Yes, we are.
So we are down to 17 minutes and we wonder where the time goes. We are glad that the caller called in. And I want you, if people want to get this documentary to share in their areas, because I tell you, this segment of the show will remain on archive, so people will be listening to it from across the world. If people want to receive a copy of that, that they can use it to empower their communities, how can they reach you, Lakeisha, to do that?
They can reach me by giving me a call. My number here is 585-355-0882. Again, that's 585-355-0882. They can send me an email at uniquesvsvn@yahoo.com. I'm currently really trying to work on developing a website. I don't have that up yet. And also you can reach me on Facebook. My name is Lakeisha Smith.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. So because what I want to do is to encourage people to get a copy of this documentary and begin to show it. Shed some light. And if there's anybody who is listening and they can help this young woman in any way to get the word out to help other people, regardless of what part of the world they are, I am asking you, please do that. Because there are too many human beings who are suffering under the hands of molestation and abuse. And we want to bind this. We want to stop this. So whatever you can do to help her to get the word out that can help other human beings, I ask you to please do that. Now we want to summarize. How would you like us to summarize this conversation? What would you like to highlight to leave our listeners with, LaQuisha?
The things that I would like to highlight are, please pay attention to your children as they are the most important aspects in your life and for our future. If you don't know what's going on with them currently, then you definitely won't know what's going on with them in the future. So if parents can please pay attention to take heed to any physical changes, any mental changes, that is one of the key elements in figuring out if your child has been abused or not. Listen to your kids. Understand what they're going through. Please don't deny them if they say that they have been abused in any type of way, whether it's physical or sexual. Just pay attention to everything that's going on around them. It is very important for you to know. I want to say that child molestation happens more often than a lot of people will believe, especially in the African American community. It's a subject that is not touched, and something that we need to really take heed to find out other issues going on in life, such as gang violence and mental health, that this plays a part of. So please listen, please understand what's going on, please try to get knowledge about it, and hopefully if I can continue and others can continue to bring awareness, that we won't have as many problems as we do have with it. So that's how I would like to sum up the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And again, give out your contact information, please.
Again, my cell phone number is 585-355-0882. Once again, it's 585-355-0882. My email address is uniquesvsn@yahoo.com. And I can also be reached on Facebook, and my information is LaQuisha Smith/Facebook.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I want to just go ahead again and ask whomever has the ability to help LaQuisha to get the word out by, you know, showing the documentary in your community. Begin the conversation. Someone must start the conversation. Too many people are hurting. And I just have another guest that joined the chat room, guest 10778. If you have a question, this is your opportunity to call in, because we are getting ready to wind up. But if you call in 646-915-8166, I will accommodate your question. But if you have not, I'm going to encourage you to go on the archive and to just check the show out. Two extremely empowering dialogue took place this evening. So again, we want you to help to get the word out. Help people to get a voice. And for those of you who are listening, whether you're listening live from the chat room or on the archive, please know that it is not your fault. You did by no means attract that cruelness to you. So find somebody to tell. There are people who will believe you. So don't stay and suffer by yourself. Tell, because there are a lot of loving people who will embrace you and will listen to you. I want to once again commend LaQuisha for the work that she is doing and for the investment that she has made in the lives of others. I want to thank you for doing that. And I still want you to hold on because I don't know whether or not any of these people have any call. We have another 10 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And while we do that, I also want to reach out to the community to help to bring my friend's daughter home safely. Joelle, darling, if you are listening, we miss you and love you, and we want you to come home. You have been out there since the 15th of February, and we don't know where you are. And we know that God is doing a work in you. We know he's protecting you and keeping you safe. However, we want you home, darling. Come on home. And if there's anybody on my Facebook that knows where Joelle is, look on her picture. She's Joelle Tucker. Look on the picture on my show page, on my Facebook page. And if you see her, call the authorities and help to get her home safely. I want her to know that we all love her. There is nothing that is said about you that can change the way we feel about you. Girl, we love you unconditionally. You are a child of God, and your mama miss you, I miss you, your brother and all your cousins, everybody miss you, and we want you to come home. So please call us, Joelle. Send me an email or something and let me know you are safe. Darling, I love you. And Lakeisha, I want to thank you for coming on and investing in my listeners and for shedding light on this terrible monster that is keeping a lot of people up at night. I thank you for your investment into this and just pray you continued success in the work that you are doing. And for those of you who joined the show tonight live, I thank you, encourage you to sign up, leave a comment on the show page, what it has meant for you. And I encourage you too, Lakeisha, to become a friend of the show so you are kept informed of what it is that we are doing here on the A New Day show. We are on twice a week, on Sundays at 7 p.m. and on Wednesdays between the hours of 10 a.m. and noontime. We believe on Sunday to feature and shed light on different life issues, overcoming adversities, or reinventing your life, or any other empowerment situation that is taking place in your life. And on Wednesdays, we focus on the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. This is Dynamic Daphne. I am so excited that I was able to spend this time with you. Use this information. Pass it on to others. Send the link to other people so that they can listen and get the information. Don't hoard it. Pass it on to others. And as usual, at this time of the year, I recruit host families for the French Cultural Exchange Program. So give me a call, send me a message on my Facebook or on my show site, because I'm looking for host families for July the 10th through the 30th, and August the 2nd through the 22nd. And this is an opportunity where you have Europe come into your home and you can help to make the difference in somebody else's life. I want to remind you also that you should not settle for mediocrity, because you were created with a great destiny and we want you to fulfill that. Do you want to say anything else, Miss Lakeisha, before you go?
I do. I want to say thank you for having me on your show as a guest and for helping me bring more awareness to the situation and hopefully getting the word out, not only here in Rochester, and I believe it's Connecticut where you reside, but also around the world. I hope people listen and take notice of things that are going on in their surroundings and listen and just respect what your kids are saying. So I want to take this time again to thank you very much, and hopefully that this will bring more awareness
to this matter and hopefully change as well.
Okay.
So thank you.
I want to thank you, Lakeisha, because we all know that child molestation is such a monster that haunts a lot of families. And I want to thank you for shedding light on that. Keep doing God's work, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
I think I'm off.
Somebody told me how we talk. My friend called from Chicago, and he said, did you know that the conversation between you and Eddie's on here? But he wasn't talking about nobody.
You said a good show, because I heard you.
Oh, you heard me?
I heard you.
Oh, my God. Yes. The thing wasn't plugged in properly, so I had to plug it out and plug it in the other.